Reading Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him.
Now, the text that was read before us sets full of overwhelming lessons that can bring us to a glorious look at the way the Lord Jesus let the toil of Peter and his company, who toiled for so long time, and yet there's no fish. And yet, at the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, in verse 4, launch into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And verse 8 says, when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. What makes Peter say that? In this overwhelming, unexpected catch of fish, which almost sunk the ship or the boat. They toiled so long, and yet, at the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught, for a catch. Brothers and sisters, every encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible gives a delight of enthralling ourselves with such a sense of wonder that it's not easy to draw out lessons. We do well if we can say with Peter in verse 8, I am a simple man. There's something in here when Peter said this in verse 8. Depart from me, O Lord, for I am a simple man. This passage is often used to teach the lesson that if we do things in our own way, we will fail. But if we do what Jesus says, we will prosper. Everybody should agree with that, I'm sure, with all my heart. That is true enough, but it is only a small part of the lesson from this miracle. It is rather more dramatic as we go on. It is more than even than there is to be a reward after laboring for a long time. It is rather that in order to live for Christ and therefore for God, we need a sigh of holiness of God and the simpleness of sin. No doubt there are many points that could be very profitably explored in great depths, but we will take just one. How a sense of the glory of God in Christ Jesus is absolutely necessary and life transforming. This glory of Christ in this miracle teaches us these three glory of God, which makes us as a Christian. From out of nowhere, when we see the glorious work of Christ, we are transformed. First, the glory of God enables us. The glory of God saves us from times when we would give up all hope. And I'm sure there were situations in your life that we are so quick to give up, without any consideration. Of course, maybe through long repeated difficulties and trials and unending same trial that faces us, and there seems to be no solution. There seems to be no hope, and we give up. How do you follow a time of discouragement like Peter? Fishing all night and no catch. Wet and cold, especially in this kind of weather. I don't think no fisherman, even a better fisherman, will go into this kind of weather. But I saw some family in which I was privileged to pastor for a while in the Philippines. They dare the weather. No matter how the waves are just on their neighbors, just about 100 yards away, they can see how difficult and dangerous to launch into that deep. But they dared, went into the sea, and to my sadness, this family, the father and the son, never came back. But that is just listening to one's own wisdom rather than seeking God. Perhaps you have persevered with Christian witness with no perceivable fruit for a long time. Reports of long ministries with little or no success are attributed to perhaps you know already to some of these missionaries, like William Carey in India, William Chalmers Burns in China, John Owen in England, and David Livingstone in Africa. For 20 years, Livingstone had only one convert. For 20 years. And that one became an effective evangelist or pastor in Africa. Such trials are not uncommon, even in our days now. These are among the many arguments, or at least the temptation not to follow Jesus Christ when there is no fruit to our labors. If I have labored all night and it's not working, and I'm tired and no fish catch, now perhaps is the time to rest. But the Christian overcomes his lack of zeal with verse 5, nevertheless, at thy word, I will. Look at that verse 5. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, if we had toiled all night and have taken nothing, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. That is in verse 4, when the Lord Jesus said, I launch out into the deep and lance out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. We can probably say to Peter, nevertheless, and it's the right answer, nevertheless, at thy word, I'll trust you, Lord. I'll trust you. And that's right. And we can say with Peter, that's right, Peter. We think we know what it's what, but when we heard the word of God, that must take precedence over our interpretation of our lives and the world events around us. Times of temptation come in, and we are tempted to give up, to sin, to make a wrong decision, and yet it's the word of the Lord that must guide our thoughts and affections and actions. We may be tempted to miss church services, but we have many excuses that are really quite reasonable. There are a lot of gifted, diehard ministers of the gospel who at some point of unguarded moments of their lives and ministry had succumbed to many trials and temptation and difficult decisions they faced and left the ministry and quit. Only in Jesus Christ the glory of God is revealed. It is truly only Jesus who enables his people to endure long and apparently fruitless days. And looking unto the Lord Jesus for wisdom and guidance can solve our unbelief, our hopeless moments. And when we learn to pray and consult the Lord Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, that he can help us. Another glory of God that can help us is the word transformation. The glory of God can transform every area of our mind and our lives. The glory of God stops us in our tracks. How the fish were gathered at this moment when Peter just showed his hopelessness that there's no fish that was caught. We toiled so long, but there's no fish that we have seen. And yet at the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, let down your nets. Peter cannot do any otherwise. That's why he said, Lord, with your words, I will trust you. How the fish were gathered at that moment, we don't know. We can give all your interpretations of what you know about the Lord Jesus Christ, or what about the power of God. It may be through Jesus' omniscience. In other words, he knows everything because he is God incarnate. It could be his omnipotence, his power, or both. He either used knowledge of where the shoal of fish were. Of course he knows where all the big fish, he can probably command them. As maybe you are thinking the same depths of thought. Because he's God, he can do anything he can do for the glory of God. Or simply use his power to bring all the fish together. As Psalm 8 says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with the glory and honor. Thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. That is in verses 4 to 8 of Psalm 8. So, how do we react to the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is utterly superior to us beyond measure? Even directing the fish? What a big catch! Peter responds, depart from me, for I am a simple man, O Lord, in verse 8. This reaction of Peter is quite strange. Or maybe you're guessing, or you're probably thinking, why he said that? What can we learn from this statement? Or is it just our reaction to Peter's reaction that is strange? Let's go on. To confess sin rather than praise in such circumstances may seem strange, yet it is the transforming power of the glory of Christ that is working at this moment. How? Well, the blessing of the great catch of fish will not be a blessing if the boat sinks. Can you imagine? If the boat sank with this heavy, big fish, there is no glory that we can probably interpret and get from that situation. What immediately looked like a blessing soon looks like a curse if the boats and the fish and possibly even the fishermen will be lost. As that recollection I got with those family who launched out into the deep and they lost. It would be a bit like enjoying a meal, but then overeating and dying. It is hard to imagine that any but the most leaky fishing boat has ever begun to sink on account of being too full of fish. Yet, boats do have a capacity, and here it was being exceeded to that capacity. Yet, the greatest overloading is not the fish. It is due to the weight of the glory of Christ's miracles, which was glorious. Did you get that thing here? Peter was really amazed of that great miracle. And if you and I are there for a close recollection of that and put our ourselves in his shoe, what an amazement of the miracle. Perhaps it's mine. It's rather focusing just on the overwhelming large and heavy fish that almost sunk their boats. But here, it is the weight of the glory of Christ which was glorious. And indications of this event made Peter realize of the glory of Christ. Are we conscious of the great miracles undertaken by Christ, our Lord, in all the various Gospels, four Gospels? So much more of his whole giving of himself as a sacrifice for sin to save not only failing fishermen, but those who have failed to please God. Are we conscious of the glorious deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we claim to live and move and have our being? This response of Peter proves the deity of Christ. He learned something of this miracle. It is not the fish that overwhelmed him, perhaps a little bit, but maybe in his long concentration and meditation that this is more than a man. That's why he felt so overwhelming in himself of the unworthiness that he is with God, the God in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must be overwhelmed as well with our utter helplessness in times of trouble and hopelessness. And this gives us lesson as Peter did, because this is not just the miracle's sake, but there is a lesson that Peter understood, that he felt unworthy to receive such miraculous intervention, to show the concern of our Lord Jesus Christ for this long toil and no fish. And yet he understand how difficult it was. How can they survive that whole week without fish? But the Lord Jesus gave them a blessing. What a glorious presence and miracle that should astound us and help us from hopelessness and helplessness to trust Christ. Even in our utmost difficulties and difficult problems and trials in life. Thirdly, the glory of God moves us onward and upward. If we have grasped these three things, then we just need to grasp one more thing. And this is the gospel. It is a resource that is bounteous. We are transformed for action. Truly, my cup overflows. How many times we let the Lord down? Yes, Christians can be faithful, but how often we are far less than we should be. So easily we are the very opposite of what we should be. Full of the lust of the world, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And so empty of grace. That's why later in John 6, in the Gospel of John chapter 6, verse 68, Peter can also say the very opposite of, Lord, depart from me. When asked the question, will you also go away? Thou hast the words of eternal life. What has changed? Well, as in 1 John 4:18 tells us, perfect love has cast our fear. Look at 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. That's right. If we fear without trusting God, then that is a self-contradiction in itself. But when we trust Christ and his love, then and our love for him, it just casts out fear. Because we trust in his omniscience, in his omnipotence, and his omnipresence. That means he is everywhere. And that we can call at any point in time. This is the application of our faith. It's not just faith that seeks salvation. Of course, that's very uppermost in our mind, to be saved from the punishment of sin that our sin deserves. But also, our salvation, while we are still waiting for our great call into glory, God will use our faith to transform our lives, to be a faithful witness unto our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it's worth that trials, the difficulties, the pain and sorrows and sicknesses. When we view our sicknesses and pain the way Christ view it, that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose, then we have a better perspective rather than grumbling and complaining and giving up and lost hope. That's how we look the periphery of our own lives events. When we look the way the Lord Jesus Christ planned and purposed for our lives after he saved us, then nothing goes wrong. It is a delight in moving forward our Christian faith. So faith is not just faith that saves us from the pardon of sin or from cleansing of our sin and forgiveness, but faith while we are in our pilgrimage with Christ while we are in on earth can transform our lives and make us a useful vessel of ease to proclaim his goodness and the truth of his saving grace to others. To me, that is a useful vessel. That is why Peter, even though he denied the Lord Jesus three times, he was used by the Lord to use those epistles to encourage us Christians from what he has learned, from his mistakes and different sin that he committed against our Lord. In Luke 5:11, we can see the reason, the ultimate response of Peter and James and John. Let's go back to Luke chapter 5 verse 11. It says there, and when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Chapter 5 of Luke and verse 11. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. That is the event that followed when they saw the glory of Christ. Tonight, we all saw in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, through the facts of what we read, should actually enable us in the midst of our hopelessness and trials and difficulties in life, we like them can forsake all and follow him. The tragedy today is that any consciousness of sin is too often subdued by withdrawing from Christ. In other words, we don't continue following Christ. Fear deadens. Fear of the unknown. Fear of what might happen 5 years, 10 years, 20 years from now, after retirement. Or when we lost our business. So the fear of the unknown can actually isolate a person from the great God who give us hope, like the hope that Peter learns from our Lord Jesus Christ in our text tonight. The world entices as well. And no one is freed or is not without an excuse to move away from this enticement. We are all subject to this enticement of this world, but when we fail, when we succumb to failures, it is not the end of the world. We have our Lord Jesus Christ who can lift us up, just like Peter was promised, just let down the nets for a catch. That means exercise your faith on me. It makes a difference. So, dearly beloved, when we experience hopelessness and fear of the unknown, let us not withdraw from Christ and from the presence of other Christians. This is a sad scenario, isn't it? When we don't know what will happen to us, when the financial crisis comes, and when our good friends leave us because we don't have, we help them, but they did not help us. It's so easy to isolate and move away from the first love of Christ. The church is a fishing fleet of little boats with nets, as if there is no catch. But too often the fishing is done by rod and line rather than by gospel net. It is thought that if by some trick you can catch a person and give them a job in the church, then you will have done well. Or perhaps when we see a lot of some visitors coming in because perhaps we have done a lot of good visits, That's not bad in itself. But when it is otherwise, when people stop coming in, where is our hope? Well, we must come back to the gospel old way of reaching out to people. There is no magic. There's no human magic that can attract people to Christ. It is his gospel and him crucified. But if you preach Christ crucified only, that is not the message that the world is looking for to hear. Because it is foolishness to them. We may even toil for many years without apparent success. But what is needed when we feel isolated and we feel like drooping and giving up? Repentance, prayer, and daily seeking the Lord closely is the only way forward. Don't be discouraged or disheartened, but keep on being absolutely in awe of the Lord Jesus Christ, his glorious omnipotence, his power, omniscience. He knows everything, and omnipresence. We can talk to him at any time, free of charge. It's just the faith that makes the difference, just like Peter did. Lord, you know I don't have, we didn't catch anything, but if you say the word, I will follow you. I will just trust your word. And there you go. They were blessed. In the end, let's close with Psalm 16, verse 11. As a challenge, additional challenge to our thoughts about this lesson. Psalm 16, verse 11. Shall we read it together? Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasure forevermore. This is the glory of God. When we begin to repent of our sin and seek God's wisdom and guidance, and daily talk to him in our prayer. The trouble is, when we stop and see some kind of improvement, some small blessing coming in, we stop praying. But even though sometimes things we don't understand and things are all the time the same, let us not stop hoping. Because God knows what is the frame of our minds and our hearts. He only wants us to fully trust him and enable us to confess our unbelief. And the prayer that is just a prayer coming from the heart, prayer that's come from the heart, but with small faith. It's not a bigger faith, but faith that like a mustard seed makes the difference. And daily seeking him closely is the way forward. And so, Psalm 16 will enable us. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wondrous grace and the glorious presence and omnipotence, the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, and his omniscience who knows everything, and his omnipresence is everywhere. These are our great inheritance in our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us not to lose sight of the power of our living God, who knows what is going on in our lives, who understands how we grow through, and is just willing and just waiting to call unto him. And thank you, Lord, for listening to our prayers. May we always keep you in our thoughts by trusting your promises. And even In times of crisis, help us not to look on our own wisdom, but look unto the Lord Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. In Jesus' name, amen.